Good evening. I call to order the Shoreline City Council regular meeting for Monday, September 22nd, 2025. Will you please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Roberts?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Mark?
Present.
Councilmember Ramsdale?
Present.
Councilmember Scully?
Present.
Councilmember Adamasu?
Present.
Councilmember Poby?
Here.
Councilmember Robertson?
And do we have a motion?
Yes, I move to excuse Councilmember Robertson for personal reasons.
Second that.
There's a motion and a second to excuse Councilmember Robertson for personal reasons. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, that motion is adopted by unanimous consent. The next item is approval of tonight's agenda. If there is no objections or comments, the agenda is also adopted by unanimous consent. Next on the agenda is the report of the city manager, Mr. Ellington.
Good evening. I have a very brief report tonight. Our current artist in residence, Gigi Silverman, will be hosting their last open studio hours this Friday, September 26th, from 12 to 3 and then 4 to 6 p.m. Additionally, their final art exhibition will be this Sunday, September 28th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Learn more by visiting shorelinewa.gov/art. We have one upcoming Shoreline Walks event this weekend. Join us on Saturday, September 27th at 10 a.m. for the Richmond Highlands Palatine Loop Walk. Learn more about Shoreline Walks and see other upcoming events at shorelinewa.gov/shorelinewalks. And finally, just a couple of public reminders to share. The Planning Commission will meet Thursday, October 2nd in the Council Chamber at 7 p.m. The next council meeting will be on Monday, September 29th at 7 p.m. The Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services Tree Board's next meeting is Thursday, September 25th at 7 p.m. And for more information about these upcoming meetings, please visit shorelinewa.gov/calendar. And that concludes the city manager's report.
Thank you. Are there any council reports this evening? Councilmember Adamasu.
Thank you, Mayor. I pulled out a lot of invasive ivy volunteering at Southwoods Park. It's a great way to get to know your neighbors. Attended the Waira 8 salmon restoration meeting. Here are some highlights. It's salmon season. Please go out to our streams and see migrating salmon. So far this year, returns of Chinook are higher than average, thanks to all the habitat restoration funding and actions over the last 19 years. I encourage our city to sign on to a letter supporting Patty Murray's legislation for Floodplain Enhancement and Recovery Act. And I have a few wildlife sightings in Shoreline. From our very own Richmond Beach Saltwater Park, I saw 5 minke whales for about 20 minutes there. And at Lions Creek next door to us in Lake Forest Park, I was looking for any small kokanee salmon. Instead, I saw a large male Chinook at the mouth of Lions Creek. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further council reports? I have a couple things. First, Deputy Mayor Mark, myself, our city manager, and our intergovernmental relations manager, Jim Hammond, went to Washington, D.C. last week. We had a good series of meetings with our delegation. We were able to meet with Representative Larson and with Senator Murray in person, which was really a coup for us. And so I think we learned a few things from them, and we shared our story and advocated, I think, well for the city of Shoreline and for cities across the country. And then today at our dinner meeting, we had Sound Transit CEO Dow Constantine come and talk to us about the Sound Transit system and some of the work they're doing to improve safety in the system. So next on the agenda is public comment. This is a portion of the meeting where members of the public may address the City Council on agenda items or any other matter pertaining to city business for 3 minutes or less, depending on the number of people wishing to speak. And how many people do we have signed up for?
No one has signed up this evening.
No one has signed up. So if anyone from the public would like to comment, now would be the time to come to the podium. I presume there are also no one signed up online?
Correct.
Okay. So seeing no one race to the podium, we will go to the next item, which is the approval of the consent calendar. Is there a motion? Deputy Mayor.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
The consent calendar has been moved and seconded. Will the clerk please conduct a vote?
Councilmember Scully?
Aye.
Councilmember Poby?
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Mork?
Aye.
Councilmember Automassu?
Aye.
Councilmember Ramsdale?
Aye.
Mayor Roberts?
Aye. And that motion passes 6-0. The next item on the agenda is adoption of the Park Facilities ADA Transition Plan, and we do have a staff report. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Council. My name is Lori Strauss. I'm an architect that's designed to last.
Oh, okay, you need to speak directly into the mic.
Sorry. My name is Lori Strauss. I'm an architect with Design to Last. We were here about a month ago talking about our ADA transition plan, and I'm with Randy Witt. You guys all know him. So we're going to get just a real quick presentation on what has happened since we were here last, and then we'll have some comment and feedback back from you guys. Let's see how to do this.
Could you put your cursor on the presentation?
It's not moving. Okay, just a really quick, I also have Jennifer Salomon on the Zoom meeting. She's the author of the ADA transition plan itself. So our timeline, we've done pretty much everything. We're on the final stretch, working on the final plan as we speak here. So just a little bit of background. On August 11th was the last time we were here, just about a month ago. We also have met since then with the Parks and Recreation and Cultural Services Tree Board meeting on the 28th. We did a short presentation to them, and they did send us back with a recommendation for you guys to adopt the plan. So some of the edits that we've done since you saw it last, and I think you have it in your packet with track changes on it, so you have seen some of this stuff. We just wanted to hit some of the highlights. You know, the social inequity part, we talked about that when we were here last. We talked about the city funding strategy, and now we have a 70-year funding strategy that we want to show and talk with you about tonight. We did clarify that public comment would be ongoing in the plan so that it's not just a static thing. We did clarify that the plan is flexible. We don't expect you to leave it sit on the shelf for the rest of the time that you have it. You should be looking at updating it every once in a while. There was a question about the cost for Richmond Beach Saltwater Park because of a bridge that goes over the railroad, which is not accessible. So we clarified how we came about that that cost, and Randy can talk a little bit about that. We did add references about the grievance procedure and added information on how progress will be tracked. So those are some of the highlights. So I'm going to let Randy take it from here on the funding strategy.
Yeah, you remember in your last meeting, we discussed generally how to fund the program, and we had some general numbers kind of for bookends for it. We expanded that into a table that looked at the two things the council seemed to focus on. One was how many years would it take to complete the entire program, and the other one was what is a percentage, if we looked at a percentage of the biennium budget available for this work. So that's the REIT and the cap contribution money. If we looked at that as a percentage, what could we afford out of that? And then we put in the funding amount in between the two, so you could look at them both, because they're related. At the end of the day, it's money. And working with Parks Executive and City Administration, we settled on a recommendation of using a target of 70 years to complete the projects in the program. That would be a little over $300,000 a biennium, and that would be a little under 10% of the available money of through the entire GenCap program. So wrapped in with that also, is a recognition, like we talked about last time, that whatever we choose today, we don't expect there'll be new money. So we'll set the target. We'll go out and look at adjusting projects to hit that target level. And we recognize that over time, there may be more money available. Big one being if REIT ticks up, there may be more money available. More money could be put to this in some given year. There may be less available another year. But the target would be an overtime target. So you'd have to look at it over a number of years. Say, are we hitting our target or not? And if not, maybe make some adjustments. There's also some conversation that if there was another park bond project, some of this may be included in that. You may be able to take off a big bite of that number at that time compared to this number. Go with that as kind of the target program. So it's intended, again, to be flexible year by year, intended to be both in projects and amount of money available. And then to summarize, what we're asking council to do tonight is to support the 70-year target and to provide any other feedback you may have on the final plan, and then ask staff to come back with Resolution 522 at your October 6th council meeting.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Councilmember Ramsdale.
Thank you. Mayor, I just want to commend you for a fantastic evaluation analysis on what needs to be addressed within our park system to help those who are disabled and have some challenges in getting around our growing and impressive park system. I'm also glad to hear that you know, that you are open to reducing that amount of time if there's some additional funding opportunities. So I hope that staff will continue to be, you know, looking for some of those opportunities to reduce that time, because it seems like that this is like really well overdue, that these things need to be addressed. I also thought I'd liked, you know, how the priorities were set, you know, like what are we going to be approaching first over the next few years? You know, the Richmond Saltwater Park was one, and I think, what was the other? I can't forget. Twin Ponds, right. And so, yeah, I look forward to, I will definitely be supportive of this. I'll be in support of this and looking forward to, in the coming years, how the work is being done. And it'll be exciting to see it being done too. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Mark.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the things that, thank you, Councilmember Ramsdale, a nice summary of how much we support the work that you have done on this. One of the things I think is important is trying to minimize disruption for people. So when a park that is part of the parks bond that has not been done yet, I would ask that every effort be made to include ADA changes as part of that, so there's only one disruption in the park as opposed to multiple. And I would also really appreciate it if staff made a point of including ADA improvements should there be another park bond that comes up. That being said, you clearly sat and thought about this and tried to come up with a way to make it work. Thank you.
I do have two questions of my own. For one comment and one question. The first is, I think that when we think about our state legislative priorities and think of capital projects and asks, I think that we should sort of come into those meetings with our legislators with some of these projects and say, hey, you should fund these. I think that we've been successful in getting funding for bathroom improvements and the like. I'm not sure if those previous ones have included ADA accessibility, but in the future, I think that as we think about projects and asks, we should, this should be towards the top of our list, especially since we've been successful in getting these program, this funding. The second question sort of relates also to funding. And we're talking about setting aside about roughly 9% of our general capital fund to ADA improvements. What I'm wondering, what are we taking away from in doing that? Are these going to, obviously we have not seen the budget any changes from the city manager yet, but I look to our parks director and wonder sort of where, what have, I mean, sort of what kind of changes might we see to the capital project, and what things may or may not get funded when focused on ADA.
Right. While she's walking up here, I'll fill a little dead air. The plan, as we envisioned it, was to, with knowing this number, the Parks Department could then craft adjustments to park improvement projects in the Gen Cap program. So you would see it, go back to your first question, would you see it, it would be with the early budgets.
Great question, Mayor, because that 9.8% does look like a big chunk of our capital program for parks, which is fairly limited, to be honest. So we would be embedding things in projects that we had going. So some of them wouldn't be full scale, 150, 200,000 big projects. They might be 10,000, and starting chipping away at that way. It might be grants that we receive that then release some of the capital budget that we have, and we could take off some of the bigger budget items as well. A lot of what's written in this plan is the flexibility that Lori and Randy talked about. So some years, if REIT comes in higher and we can do more, we're going to. The 70 years is spread out long enough to be able to give us that flexibility, that there might be some bienniums that we're doing a lot more work on this and others that we're doing less. So the average is going to be about the 9%, 9.8% if it took us the full 70 years. But we anticipate some years being far more if we get grants or the REIT goes up, and other years probably a lot less. And so it's going to be very flexible, and you'll see it in each of the biennium budgets presented, and we'll make sure we have it highlighted.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Pogge.
Quick one. Thank you, Mayor. You brought up the maximums. I want to bring in the minimums. You had mentioned what if, and so is it taking a chunk? I'm not sure. But let's say in a year, it's a perfect year, we do not have any capital projects in the department. What happens? How do we strike that percentage?
Well, that would be a very sad budget year. however, if we didn't have any, again, it's the longitudinal aspect of the plan that allows for that flexibility. Then we would be hunting for grant-specific programs for this type of work, or leaning into some of the legislative advocacy work for funding of some of the projects, which the mayor spoke to. So knowing that budgets are very fluid and cyclical, that this plan does allow for that flexibility, as opposed to some of the more historic ADA transition plans, which are very static and have things numbered 1 through 150 and exactly how much you're supposed to spend each year. This one allows us a lot more flexibility.
Okay, thank you. I was just gonna say, I'm not sure what's in the resolution, but some paragraph in there stating what ifs and other things, especially if it is below a threshold, then we should strike the 9.8. If it's above that, then we should do that and do that. I think we can think about something.
That was included in per the feedback from Council and Park Board, so that is in the plan.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Is there any objection to seeing this on the consent calendar when it comes back? I see none. We'll put this on the consent calendar. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is discussion of ordinance number 1044, amending the salary range placement table of the 2025-2026 biennial budget for classification changes related to a reorganization of the Public Works Department. And Trustee Yonke was here joining to give the staff presentation. Welcome.
Thank you. So yes, that's a mouthful of this ordinance. So tonight is for discussion, as you said, of ordinance 1044, amending the range placement table. Usually this happens as part of the budget process, but we had some reasons that we wanted to bring this to council now versus waiting as part of the mid-buy, primarily because we didn't want to delay recruiting for these two new positions until the mid-buy budget's approved in mid-November. So tonight I'm just going to give you a high-level overview of what this reorganization is and then go over what the changes are to the salary table and then, again, a high-level overview of the budget impacts. Now, the budget impacts will be included in the mid-biennial budget. They are not part of this ordinance. And so over time, Public Works has largely had the same organizational structure with three divisions. And it's largely made the same, but we've seen changes in our organization, both as a community, size of our community, and size of our department. We've seen the addition of a wastewater utility. We've seen the addition of grounds. And we've had pretty extensive investments in our capital program. And as things have changed, we've seen pressure and challenges with our current organizational structure. And so earlier here in 2025, we started looking at what would a different structure look like and how would that help us deliver the services to this community. And so we started by looking at what some key objectives were of what we were trying to accomplish by this organizational structure. Again, I did not want it to be just a structure of changing boxes on a piece of paper. I wanted it to be meaningful and to be about how we deliver our services to the community. And so here we've listed some of our objectives, again, aligning with the growth and changes in our department. Also being really intentional behind our planning functions across our lines of service, improving consistency in how we're delivering our services, and also really improving the support and current needs and future opportunities. And so you can see here our current organizational structure where we have three divisions, the Utilities and Operations Division, the Engineering Division, and the Transportation Services Division. And within this, we have seen, again, these different additions with grounds and wastewater, but we really haven't changed our structure. And Transportation Services has always been this kind of smaller division compared to the other sizes of the division, and so really has created some differences in how all of our services are delivered. We deliver transportation services different than wastewater services, different than surface water services, with minimal consistency among them. And so under our new organizational structure, we continue to have three divisions, but we really look at them being more balanced and enhancing them to be consistent across the work and the lines of service. The new division here is the Planning and Operations Division, and minor modifications to the other two divisions of Engineering Services and Maintenance Services. And under this new Planning and Operations Division is where we'll see things like master planning efforts, asset management, regulatory compliance. And again, we're putting transportation, surface water, and wastewater in there together to build consistency and uniformity where we can across those lines of service. We did look at multiple structures and options, and this is really what rose to the top in meeting our objectives. Now, the most significant change here, in addition to adding the planning and operations manager as a new division, well, that position is mainly the replacement of the transportation services manager, but what you do see here is a new wastewater maintenance superintendent. Under our current structure, wastewater maintenance and planning live underneath the wastewater manager position, and some of the systems engineering function has been underneath the surface water utility. And so with this, we're separating kind of the planning and the operationals component into the wastewater manager group, along with that systems engineering will be under the wastewater manager in the planning and operations manager. And then we're creating this new wastewater maintenance superintendent. And that really makes the wastewater maintenance in alignment with how we provide our other maintenance activities for both streets and storm and grounds. But that does create a new superintendent position managing those maintenance activities. And so with all of this work, it does result in quite a few changes to the rate table, mainly because a lot of these, we are just changing position titles, such as the city engineer becomes the engineering services manager. And no change in pay range, just change in titles. But we do have several that do result in changes in pay range. You can see them as being the ones that are in italics there on the right, and also the new ranges are in bold there on the far right as well. As part of this, we did take the ones that are in italics, and we did work with HR, and we had them reviewed from a compensation perspective in our comparable cities to set these new ranges. And then, as I said, there are budget impacts to this, and while this will be in the mid-buy, I did want to take the opportunity to share what the impacts are. And you can see from here, these changes do result in a net decrease in contributions to the general fund. This is because the transportation services manager was primarily funded by general fund and a small amount of capital. As we convert that to the planning and operations manager position, it is funded by a combination of the two utilities and the general fund. We've also upgraded assistant planner position to associate planner position, and so it uses some of those cost savings from the general fund for that increase as well. In the surface water fund, you see a modest increase. Again, this is for this 25-26 biennium. Again, that's due to the allocation of the planning and operations manager to the surface water utility. And then you see the most significant increase in the wastewater fund as we have the allocation for the planning and operations manager, but we also have the new position for the wastewater superintendent. And so all of these will be incorporated into the mid-buy budget. The increases to the surface water and the wastewater fund can be absorbed within their current rate structure. Again, the surface water impacts are relatively minor and are in alignment with the master plan rate structure you approved last year. The wastewater utility, again, more significant, but as we have gotten further into operating the wastewater utility, and we've taken a look at the work on the capital program that was done as part of Ronald Wastewater District, we're finding the opportunity to prioritize and change some of our capital projects. And so that has created some space for us to absorb these increases until we do our next rate study in 2027. And then this structure would be part of that, along with what a new look at our capital program would look like. Again, that next rate study is anticipated to begin in 2027. And so then tonight is for discussion, and based upon the discussion tonight, our hope is to begin recruitment for these two new positions by the end of September. And then we will bring this back for council action on October 6th. And again, the budget revisions will be part of the mid-buy process, which is scheduled for adoption on November 17th. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Councilmember Scully.
Sorry, I have two. First of all, what does the current transportation manager under the current iteration do, and where will those functions go, given that the city traffic engineer is now going to be called the transportation manager, and I know what she does, and I would assume she's going to continue doing that.
Yes, she will continue to. Her title will change to the transportation manager, but she'll still function as the city traffic engineer. She'll still have that role. We'll pull the two planning positions that were underneath transportation services underneath that transportation manager. So we will still have positions that are focusing on delivery of the master plan, focused on supporting grant applications, focused on transit coordination, a lot of those coordinations that were handled by the staff underneath the transportation services manager.
All right, so assuming it's the same person, she will have additional management responsibilities, but folks off below this table will be doing the work that was historically done by the current transportation manager.
Correct, correct. And there was a lot of coordination between traffic and transportation services. So again, by combining them, we think we get some efficiencies in how that can be done. But yes, I'm very sensitive to the workload, particularly of that position. And so I do think with the two planning positions, that's where the bulk of that work should happen.
You know, I mean, it's different skill sets, but I know that individual and I'm sure she could handle it. We'll have to watch the future, but.
Yes, yes.
The second question is assistant planner to associate planner. That's a fairly substantial salary jump. Why is the role changing? I mean, why do we need to do that?
Yeah, so there's a couple pieces to that. So the current position was an assistant planner, and that person in that position has received a promotion elsewhere within our department. And so that position has been vacant. As we looked to go out and recruit for that position, the job description for the assistant planner really doesn't align with the functions that we currently have a need for. And so some of that need is based upon the fact we're losing the transportation services manager. So we need a planner that can operate at a higher level and with more independence and more autonomy than we could with an assistant planner. So this helps us with that capacity of the tasks that need to be done, not to discount what the transportation services manager was doing, but we can now spread it across to a senior planner and an associate planner instead of an assistant planner.
That makes sense, and thank you. My only concern with this is we had a fairly huge reorg a few years ago, and that put the right people in the right jobs. But when those people left through attrition or whatever, it was a challenge for Mr. Ellington to sort out, and we had to do another reorg. And so I just want to make sure that this isn't focused on the people, but rather on the job descriptions. I don't think it is, but that's just my learned caution whenever we have a restructure like this.
Yeah, and honestly, it was the vacancy of the transportation services manager that allowed us to think more holistically about what do we want this reorganization to look like. And you know, in the last year, all three of those positions within transportation services have left. So yes, we're very aware and trying to make sure we can attract and retain people and do the functions we need, not build an organization around the people.
Deputy Mayor Mark.
Thank you. I really like how you broke maintenance out. It's a different world and it's not understood by many, but I don't see anything for stormwater maintenance. How is that going to be handled?
Well, stormwater maintenance is currently combined. Streets and storm is one. It's on the org chart. It's listed as the public works maintenance superintendent. That is where our streets maintenance and our surface water maintenance occurs underneath one superintendent. So that doesn't change. That remains the same way.
Just wanted to make sure it was still getting handled. I'm very concerned about wastewater costs. You may or may not be aware how much King County is going to increase wastewater costs. And by putting new positions under wastewater, you're going to put more pressure on the city of Shoreline to increase costs there. And I caution you that wastewater rates are going up far faster than the rate of inflation. And people in Shoreline see those as Shoreline's rates, not King County's rates.
Right.
So we're adding on top of it, and I'm really concerned when they're proposing to raise the rates 14% next year, approximately, you're gonna have very little room to put additional rates on. So I would ask you to really think about that way you're thinking of handling it.
Yeah, I agree. Those King County rate increases are going to have much more substantial impact than what we have for the Shoreline piece.
Yes.
And so I do think out of this process, it'll let us be a little bit more efficient and comprehensive about how we plan the work for the wastewater utility and where our priorities are so we can maintain or minimize Shoreline rate increases.
Thank you.
Councilmember Adamasu.
I just want to thank you, Director Yonke, because of the phenomenal job you do. You've got such complicated staff under you. And I just have a real quick question about the new functions. Will it do anything to help with the fees that we charge now if you don't drop your wastewater check into on the thing? A customer recently said they were paid two extra fees, over $7 on top of their bill. Does this reorg deal with that in any way?
No, it does not, because the billing functions for the wastewater utility are handled through our administrative services department.
Okay.
So this really isn't a function
Nothing
of what
to
Public
do.
Works does.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clarification.
Yes.
Thank you. I have a couple of quick questions. First, on the ordinance in on 8B16, it still says utility and operation manager. Is that something that needed to be fixed? It's different than what's on the org chart.
Right. So good catch. I should have included that. That is one we're still working through. So we still have our utility and operations manager in place, and we weren't ready for the compensation review of the maintenance, the new maintenance manager position. That current individual is anticipating retiring in the spring, and so we would clean that up when we look to recruit his replacement. So for now, we'll leave it as the utility and operations manager, but I would expect in the next 6 months we would see that change. We just weren't quite there, and we still had a person in that role doing that role.
Okay, thank you. The other question is sort of slightly philosophical, in that I see that in that sort of line of managers, you have three different you have three different ranges. I mean, 69, 70, 71. If these are essentially equal positions, I'm curious of the relatively granular distinction we're making that with between these positions in the salary table.
Yeah, so that's an interesting element. There's different philosophies, and the way we do our compensation studies is we look at the comparable job description against other comparable job descriptions and see what those ranges are. And if we have them that match, then we go with the same philosophy as all of our salary things with the 50% of the median, or the median sort of price range, so, or salary range. And so we do end up with sort of inconsistencies. It's not always equal on ranges, even if the jobs are similar, because some of that, it could be the qualifications or the type of work that can be valued differently, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, and to sort of articulate a different way is that you have certainly qualifications definitely plays a big role in it, but when you're talking about a one-step difference between each of these, and the fact that I believe that our consultants have told us in the past that when you get to some of the manager positions, the number of comparables is relatively small, it would seem like there would be an opportunity to sort of clean it, because a one-step difference either way, or even a two-step difference, is not going to put someone who was, if we got it perfectly at the 50%, you're not going to get to over 60% if you, by going up a step or two.
Right, I get that. It's kind of, yeah, a philosophical element. And so I rely on and work with our HR director to really kind of lead that. And Livy is online, and she can probably better answer that question on how we do those comparables and come up with the compensation.
I was just more noting it and scratching my head.
Okay. Livy, did you want to add?
No, I think it is a head scratcher. And the reality is that our comparable cities value positions in different ways, and we aim to, you know, our compensation philosophy is up to 5% above or below the median of the market. And so this is simply where the numbers play out. And as we look to 2029, when we do our next full compensation and classification survey,
we could come to different outcomes based on that work. But for right now, based on where we are, these were the matches that that exist in the marketplace. And so we do have that slight difference between comparable positions oftentimes.
Okay. Any further questions? Deputy Mayor Mark.
My apologies for forgetting. Hands down, the most complaints I get is for grounds maintenance. Will people see any improvement in grounds maintenance potentially with this reorg?
Well, we're continually looking for how to, I understand why that's it's what's visible, it's what people see. And so it's really easy to pick out and understand. Most of us have yards, we know what weeds look like. Of course, lots of people think they're traffic engineers as well. So, but you know, grounds maintenance, people can understand and we can make sense out of, and it matters and it is part of our community. And so we continue to look for how do we balance that. This does not add any staff to grounds maintenance, which is really what it would take in order to see a somewhat of the difference in the outcome. Now, that I would say there are things in our budget that you were all approved with the 25-26 budget about replanting some areas. And if we can get some good vegetation in, then we might be able to, some newer, better vegetation in, we might be able to keep some of the weeds out. But I also think with this, we are trying to be more deliberate, again, in that planning phase of the process, which includes what we're choosing to plant as part of capital projects, what is being planted as part of development projects. That will then get pulled in underneath that planning and operations and be a little bit more thoughtful and deliberate about it, which might help us in the long term. It will not fix things overnight, but again, we're kind of moving the ship. You got to move it a little bit at a time.
Thank you. That is exactly what I wanted to hear. It's having people who are thinking about that as their priority all the way through, not just at the moment. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Any further comments, questions? Okay. I think that we safely put this on consent next time it comes back to us.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.